Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life, segment number two. I hope you're having a great weekend so far. And don't forget, we got a wine of the week coming up. We really are going to talk about some wine stuff. And actually, I have a little bit of food stuff I'm going to mention too later. But we started off the program with Gordon Enns. Gordon's been in the medical community and research and clinical studies. And he has come up with, in concert with several folks, a test for inflammation. And it's just a simple urine test. And Gordon, when I look at, you know, one of the quotes on the website from Paul DeCorletto, a PhD at Cleveland Clinic, uncontrolled inflammation plays a role in almost every major disease, including cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even depression.
That is true.
Okay, so the obvious answer to that is, what the heck do I do to control inflammation? How do I know if I am carrying chronic inflammation? And fortunately, you've kind of come up with the answer to that question.
Well, certainly, we like to think that that our test is probably the easiest screening test, if you will, for chronic inflammation. The important thing to realize about this test is I don't want a lot of people to go out and have a test and they come back above the reference range, elevated, saying, oh my gosh, I have chronic inflammation. When do I die? This is simply a little flag, and what this means is maybe I had some acute inflammation that hasn't just quite cleared up. So you repeat the test in a month, a few weeks for sure, just in case, let it go by. The important thing is not actually as much the absolute level, although yes, if it's very elevated, that's not good. The important thing is which direction is it going? And if we're in the reference range, we want to stay there. If we're elevated, we want to get back into it because that's a sign that you're turning off some of that activity in the nucleus of the cell.
So in my case, and I'm happy to talk about my, because I was in a happy place, but I take 81 a day, and of course I have congestive heart failure. I've got a mechanical mitral valve, you know, I'm dealing with stuff. But at least I didn't have high inflammation. You know, when I look at, I'm a fat guy, obesity, smoking, I don't smoke. I do drink my fair share of grape juice that's been fermented. Mm-hmm. But when I look at some of the other things, wow, lack of exercise, sun exposure, certain foods that have inflammatory fats, stress and sleeping disorders.
Yeah.
All contribute to overall this inflammation thing that you just may not have any clue at all about.
That is exactly right. And that's the important thing. And I'm really pleased to see this. We've had our initial acceptance, if you will, of this test and the concept has been more in the naturopathic, functional medicine, the alternative side of medicine. There are so many things, and I'm hearing so many people now, and I go to talks on platelets and a lot of things in the what is categorized maybe as traditional. It shouldn't be traditional versus complementary. Those two need to go together. We need traditional medicine to fix urgent things, but we also need to have more of a complementary, which we can do as lifestyle, diet, nutrition, the things that you mentioned. They all add up, and they all make a difference. It's interesting because we are working closely. For example, we have a naturopath in Scottsdale who uses this test in her cancer patients. because depending on the type, and cancer is a difficult one because there are probably 300 different types of cancer. They don't all act the same. They all pretty much know how to morph into something else. But a number of those cancers are very treatable with aspirin, and that's what we're beginning to see. We also see a number of people that are using a, I can't even begin to name them all, of the different complementary kinds of the curcumins and fish oils and probiotics and on and on and on. So there's so much work being done in this area now, but it shouldn't be, we need to know that we are at risk because we can do something. I think that's the important thing.
I have a couple questions related to just the idea of taking aspirin. You mentioned some of the other things, some of the herbs and spices that you use. You know, turmeric is an anti-inflammatory. Hot stuff, peppers seem to help with this. But something as simple as aspirin, what does big pharmacy, big pharmacology think of this whole thing? And are they on board to suddenly now people are going, well, maybe I won't need a lot of these other relatively costly drugs and I can spend $1.99 for a thing of bare aspirin and have improved health?
Well, and that is true. I think it's being met with a certain amount of resistance. And, of course, Big Pharma is trying to come up with more designer kinds of drugs that attack very small components. And if you look at some of the most popular or most frequently prescribed drugs, highest revenue generating are anti-inflammatory drugs, the Embrils and that nature. The thing about it is they have a very specific site in this inflammatory pathway that they go in and inhibit. And as you well know from listening to the commercials, the side effects go on and on and on. And yes, people will say low dose, you know, aspirin, you could have an increased risk of bleeding, and you could. And I'm not here to say everybody should take at least a baby aspirin. I'm saying you should talk to your healthcare provider and probably say, why should I not be taking it? That I would support very strongly. But we also have to realize that there are a certain number of people with genetic tendencies to bruise easily and bleed, something called von Willebrand. So we do need to be careful, and that's why we need to, ideally, we have a healthcare provider that can guide us down this path of what to use. What's very exciting, Guy, is how I can give you scientific paper after paper showing you the Mediterranean diet, for example, with the metabolite, as it's called, of what we measure in the urine. Mediterranean diet, about 3 months on a good, solid Mediterranean diet, lowers the level of what we measure by about 35%. Mm. So these, and the thing about it is, can also show you on the big schematic of how the pathways work, places where these complementary things work. So aspirin works, number one, specifically in the platelet, and some of these others work in another part of the pathway. So there's kind of a need to have a nice balanced dietary lifestyle, throw in a little aspirin if in fact you have diabetes possibly. That for sure you should be asking your doctor, and there you need to know, is that really enough? But seek to make, I think, a much more integrative wellness pattern.
A normal blood test or a normal urine test that you would get on your well checkup, your wellness checkup, mm-hmm. once a year, whatever, doesn't look at anything that would indicate this?
Not directly. Not directly. Some people would say, well, an elevated white blood cell count is a little bit of an indication, but that is so nonspecific. White cells are part of what starts the acute inflammatory response. So there are things. But no, the C-reactive protein is a test that's gotten a lot of play that was developed out of Harvard originally, Dr. Ridker's group. But it's a blood test. And the beauty of our test, I think, is in the fact that we recommend and our delivery system, if you will. You have the kid at home, you wake up in the morning, and the first thing you do is collect a urine specimen. That gives a nice baseline. In other words, you've hopefully slept a nice 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep. You haven't been stressed. You haven't eaten inflammatory things. And I got a fun story I want to remind me to tell you about the lifestyle and the burger thing. It's kind of cool. So this first morning is a way to standardize. So a practitioner knows that, yeah, I didn't just eat a big hamburger French fries and now 4 hours later I have my blood drawn. Well, that could elevate inflammatory markers. So this gives you more of a longer period of time and an overnight test, so it makes it easier.
How does it that brought up another question, but the one I had in mind thinking prior to that was I take blood thinner, you know, because I have an artificial heart valve. But I still take 81 mg a day. I mean, and they say, you know, avoid aspirin. You know, you could take Tylenol, but no aspirin products. It seems like I don't think I have excessive bruising or any of that stuff. If my numbers were higher than they were, I was at the low end. I was in good shape. Mm-hmm. If they were higher, would then I work with my cardiologist and with you and decide that maybe I should take, 150 milligrams instead of 81 or mm-hmm. something like that?
Two 81s. Absolutely. But you definitely would want to do that with the with your health care,
yeah.
with your cardiologist in this case. Yeah, it's the thing about the blood thinner is they work. There are a couple of components in blood clotting, and that was Colorado Coagulation, my first laboratory, and I got to learn coagulation for about 40 years in Denver before I got into this kind of a field. But there are plasma or blood proteins, and then there are cellular components like the platelets. So these are two different mechanisms that contribute to making the blood clot. Typically, the platelet is first. It goes through circulating in your blood, and it finds plaque. And if it's capable of being activated, aspirin is supposed to prevent that. So when it bumps up against the plaque, it just keeps going. But if it doesn't, it sticks, it attracts other platelets. Now you have the start of a clot, which can either break off, go up in your brain, and cause a stroke, or it can continue to fill the dam and literally occlude the vessel.
Yeah.
So there's two different mechanisms, and aspirin affects the platelet, and the oral anticoagulants affect the plasma proteins that come in after the platelet has started. So I was on, don't mind sharing with you, when I had my heart attack in Denver, I was on aspirin and in those days Coumadin for a lot of years, and I asked Dr. Molk, phenomenal cardiologist. He's just retired recently. He said, I'd like you to stay on both because you tolerate them well, and we both know the role they play in blood clotting.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to ask your cardiologist, well, why shouldn't I?
Interesting. And those two different types of things, that's why when you see the commercials and they talk about one of the Plavix or some of the other blood thinners, mm-hmm. If you don't have a synthetic mitral valve,
yes,
you know you take that kind. If you've had deep vein thrombosis or whatever, you might want to take that kind versus Coumadin, like I take.
Mm-hmm.
And Coumadin's like the big dog of blood thinning stuff.
Been around for a lot of years.
Yeah, and I seem to tolerate it okay. Interesting. What about when you look? When I look at this, things that are increased, the potential. So we've touched on a lot of them here, and some of this is scary. And you think, if I can just take an aspirin to help a little bit, irritable bowel syndrome, I never would have thought that IBS would have been something that inflammation would be a part of, or I guess I just didn't consider that. And the Alzheimer's.
Mm.
This man, I wish you'd come up with some kind of test that would say, if you take this special aspirin every day, you won't get Alzheimer's. Well, you do too. You wish that too, because then We could go on a lot of vacations together, and you could pay.
Well, or if we do, we could just stay in the room and go on those vacations.
Absolutely, with a good brain.
And a good bottle of wine.
And we're going to talk about that because, first, folks, I want you to do this. Go to chronicinflammationtest.com. Spend some time on the website. See what Gordon and his team have come up with. Take the test. Covered by insurance? No. Not yet.
It is for aspirin in certain settings, but not for
the test.
The biggest use. The test is not generally
But still,
covered.
It's low dollar.
Slow dollar and for what you get.
You learn a lot.
Oh,
I'm Guy Barrett. It's a good life. Dr. Enns and I, doctor of urine samples. Oh, that's terrible. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about some wine. And you didn't know this, but Gordon was not only a winemaker in his own right, but a vineyard manager. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.